Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day that you've given to us to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to meet freely and worship God through Spirit and truth. And Father, thank you for the Word of God taught in the Sunday school hour on these premises. Now we come again to proclaim your Word in a way that hopefully someone will be blessed and live closer to you. Our Father, we live in this world. Each day, everything is geared satanically to take us away from the things of God. Just float through life and we'll be further from God every day as it approaches than we were the day before. If we don't spend some time in the Word of God, where God's centered around what His plan and purpose is, so the Holy Spirit can really impress on our hearts that which we need to know, so we know what to do in this life as we're passing through as ambassadors of Christ and children of God. So I pray this would be a place to remind us, whether people listen or not, at least the voice to remind us that there are many things in this life more important than the everyday routine that we go through each day. Honor yourself this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn, first of all, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I want to read two verses of Scripture, and then I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Romans chapter 10. We know these verses by heart, but I want you to sit with your eyes, focus on it. Verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. May I read again? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. Do you hear what I read? Do you see what I read? Raise him from the dead, he says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me. And let's read, if you will, down about verse 12 through verse 22. 15 and verse 22 of 1 Corinthians. And in these verses we have written in verse 20, Paul says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? By the way, let me stop there just a minute, that a lot of things you hear today, when it comes to the media and other places or stories about Christ, when they mention the resurrection of Christ, it's more in a mockery than it is in a reality. You just listen. Everything they're discussing, it's almost like Peter said, they're mocking those who would dare believe in the resurrection. And it's in some type of slaying or some type of way, in turn, that brings it to less important in people's mind than the most important thing in anybody's life in what they believe. And now Paul is saying again, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there's no resurrection? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also in vain. By the way, if he's not risen, let's stop right now and leave and go do something that we can enjoy in the flesh, because it's all this life it is, and we're going to die and not have to face anything. Why not just live it up? Why not just live it up? I mean, if there's no hereafter, if there's no facing of judgment, if we don't have to give an account of nothing, we better enjoy this life while we can here. Because Paul says, even the best we have will most men miserable later if there's no resurrection. And he goes on and he says, yea. He said, your faith is in vain. If Christ be not risen, is our preaching vain, and your faith is in vain. Yea, and we are found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Isn't that interesting? In other words, ladies and gentlemen, if Christ has not risen from the dead, the whole human race from Adam's day to our day is still in their sins. That's a powerful statement. then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. What an awesome thought. The fact that if Christ is not raised from the dead, then all of those who have died from this day back to Adam's day have perished and have nothing to gain whatsoever when death comes. And he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But I like verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of life, or came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, my conviction about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My conviction about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is so important. It is so important. I don't mean just say I believe it and, you know, and go through life and live my life. It is so important that everything else that God says hinges on His resurrection. Everything else He says. And when I see it like God wants me to see it, it will do something for me to live this life for Him and not for self. People say, I believe in the resurrection. What does it do in your life? Well, I believe He's coming back because you're raised. But what is it doing in your life today? Because if you truly believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to come by way of the cross to get what He offers. Without the resurrection, the cross wouldn't have no meaning. And again, there'd be no need for the resurrection if the cross didn't come before the resurrection. Because that's where God took sin and paid for it for you and I. The resurrection of Jesus Christ sets forth the crown of all the doctrines that God has given in His Word about life. And it's very, very important. My conviction is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the main part of my ministry. That's the reason. By the way, these people who came and worked so hard this week wouldn't have done it if Christ hadn't been rose from the dead. What did you say to it? Why, you used to do something when you work yourself like you work. Why is it that we're so dedicated to the cause of Christ? Why is it that we give our life to the point to, as a sacrifice, as the Lord says to give, if there's no resurrection? Without a resurrection, we might as well do like the average person or the rest of the world does. But because there is a resurrection, I'm glad I'm where I'm at. Because God is going to be honored when those believe the resurrection like they should. And we're going to be blessed as we serve Him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the main part of my ministry. It's the main part of my faith. It's the main part of my salvation. It's the main part of my service. It's the main part of my hope. Everything about Jesus Christ is empty without the resurrection. It's no more than a story about the resurrection. And that's the reason that people, most people on the earth reject Him as being the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, because to them, He's no more than just a story of the past, rather than the reality from God dealing with man in his sin. His incarnation without the resurrection has no meaning. His sinlessness, His mercy, His grace, His sonship. Ladies and gentlemen, all of these have no avail without the resurrection. In fact, in verse 17 of this chapter, you see where the Apostle Paul made this statement, and if Christ be not raised, that is from the dead, your faith is in vain. And he says, and yet we are still in our sins. I read a story recently by a man by the name of Renan. He's an old French infidel that wrote about Jesus' life. He wrote a book or article about from his birth to Calvary years ago. He started at his birth and wrote and got down to where at Calvary. And when he got to the cross and saw where Christ said, finish, he said that he was defeated. He said people deserted him. They knew he had had a lost cause. They knew that he had no reason, no further to go any further, because he tried hard to put forth an effort to get something done that would help humanity to some degree, but he actually failed. He looked defeated hanging on the cross. And since Jesus said finish, he said finish his article, and he stopped right there. Now, Jesus did seem to die that way in the eyes of humanity. Jesus did seem to have lost his method or reason for coming. He seemed to have lost the battle that he had raised so much in this world in helping humanity. In the eyes of humanity, he looked defeated hanging on the cross. As if one man, you couldn't even tell his appearance because of the way he had been treated. He was hanging on the cross, looked defeated, but I want you to know, he did not have to go to the cross. I mean, he could have stayed where he was at, and yet for a God who loved man, he did have to come if we were going to ever be redeemed and brought back to a status that would be pleasing to God. But I'll tell you this, God could have wiped humanity off the face of the earth and been just in doing it. We don't deserve his mercy. We don't deserve his grace. He could have said, that's it. I'm through with it. I tried one time and went through Moses and I said that about Israel and I was going to destroy him. Moses intervened and I came back and now the whole, no, he could have, but I'm glad that God is a God, sees things from the beginning. He knew what he was going to do to bring the best results that's ever needed for humanity. And we're still looking for that in the future when Jesus comes back again. Jesus didn't have to die like he did, but he did. You picture him hanging on the cross for just a moment. And I thought this week, as this has been such a great blessing to me, though it had been tiresome, what a great blessing to think about what Jesus has done and when he hung on the cross. No doubt in my mind why he hung there. I don't think there's one angel in heaven that didn't fall with Lucifer looking on that scene, understood what was going on. I don't think an angel in heaven could understand why God would allow himself, his son, God incarnated in the flesh, to be brought to such a level that human beings could do to him what they were doing. They knew he deserved worship. They knew he deserved an adoration of our heart to him, not to bring him down to treat him like a criminal. And here they looked on the scene, but their hands are tied. Why? They can't move lest God tells them to. But they're ready. They're looking at that scene. And they're saying humanity is not worthy of this. Don't they know who this is? This is God incarnated. This is God himself clothed in a body of flesh. God, one word from you. Oh, Lord Jesus, one nod from you. One wink from you. Give us a sign and we'll come to the rescue. We'll do something this world that this world will never forget if you just let me do it. They knew who he was. And they knew who was handling him in a way that was very unworthy, like, this is God in the flesh, incarnated, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, hanging on the cross like a ordinary common criminal. Jesus, just lift your head. Jesus, just make a sign. And we'll do something, like I said, this world will never forget. Just do it. And Jesus, in so many words, or so many thinking as I look at that cross, or my world thinking as he would say to these angels, no. My Father and I know why I'm here. My Father and I know what it cost. Though you can't understand, and though we never did this for an angel, there's something going on here that's beyond what happened when we created the angels and they fell. My Father and I have a plan. And when God extracted eternal punishment from the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior hanging on the cross, treated like a criminal, mocked and ridiculed, almost to the place he had no visual look as a man, cried, finish! And when he cried, finish, as we know it is finished. He gave up the ghost as he bowed his head and surrendered his life unto God Almighty. Renan said, well, they buried him. He died, they buried him, showing him as a fake. This was his ministry. It was a false ministry. He worked hard, yes, give him credit. He certainly did some good things. But when it came down to the end, looking at the scene on Calvary, it's like every other person who's ever lived, they lived and they died. And as far as that is concerned, that's it. Renan said that the resurrection came out of the imagination of Mary's Magdalene's mind and heart. She wanted it so bad, she went to the tomb. He was not there. Whatever happened could care less. She went back and told this great story that everybody picked up on. And from that day to day, it's been handed down through generation that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. He said that Mary Magdalene only had an hallucination as a woman. And that hallucination has never returned. And since then, it's all been a prefab type message that people enthuse themselves about and get really excited about to help ease some of the problems that we're here in this world wishing there's a better world than this. But I want you to know, we work hard here for results in this life for the glory of God. We understand that. We work hard, and many do, for the results where you're at your job. There would be no hard work in this life unless there's the results from it. You would not go and do what you do day by day unless there was some type of result, at least to see and have evidence that is there. Then in the name of heaven, why would people not only do the job in this life to get results, but give much more time at times like last week to do things if there's not some results at the end of it? And I'll tell you there is. You know why? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. When looking for Him, we'll keep up us pure in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. The resurrection that's taken place and looking for Him to return because of that resurrection. John says will keep us pure. It'll cause us to want more what He wants than what I want. It'll cause us to lay our life on the line. It'll cause us to give the sacrifice that's needed. Why? Because He rose from the dead. He has promised we will rise, we'll be changed and meet Him in the air. We know that He's alive and well. And because of that, we know He's coming back one day. If He's not alive and well, if He did not rise from the dead, then He'll never come back. But because He did rise from the dead, He's coming back. And John says we look for Him. And that purifies us daily. That means I must be busy every day because He may come back today. And I may be busy about other things, but He must have the first priority. Always. Why? He rose from the dead. Now as I see that, I want to give you 2 points and that's it this morning. My conviction about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I believe He rose from the dead, but does it do anything in your heart? Does it change your life? Does it get priorities in your life? Does you find that these the only thing that really matters because of the resurrection? Or is there other things in line that matters more than He, except He's down the totem pole somewhere or another? I'll tell you, if He's anywhere other than first, you're not really looking at the resurrection like we should, because that is the basis foundation for everything else. Let me give you 2 points quickly. First of all, there is no gospel without the resurrection. You say, preacher, I know that. Yeah, we need to hear it again. There is no gospel without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now hear me. Christ's resurrection makes Christianity superior to all other religions. And I say that with authority based on God's holy word. The resurrection makes Christianity superior to all other religions. You say, but preacher, that's kind of putting it up on a pedestal. No, I'm just saying what God Almighty set forth in His Word. No other leader of religion ever rose from the dead. And by the way, they're all dead. They're all dead. The major ones we think of in the cults and so forth. You see, Christianity begins where other religions end. And that's the resurrection. You see, sir, you see, ma'am, you see, dear friend, I worship one who rose from the dead. No one else has ever done that. No one else can ever do that except in the power of the one who rose from the dead to start with. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I want you to know, the resurrection is the foundation for all other Bible doctrines. Some 5 times Jesus predicted that He would rise from the dead. Some 40 times is mentioned in the New Testament in some form or fashion about His resurrection. To believe in Jesus Christ's resurrection automatically, hear me now, somebody say, well, you believe, what about Calvary? To believe in Jesus Christ's resurrection automatically causes one to believe about Jesus dying on the cross. If you believe in His resurrection, you're going to believe the story about the cross. If you don't believe that, you're not believing the resurrection. For the same God wrote both.
And Paul has given us here in 1 Corinthians, the most carnal church that he had in the New Testament. And he said in 4th, I want you to know, if Christ did not rise from the dead, we are all men most miserable. We're still in our sins. Whatever we're doing to try to make satisfactory for God is in vain. And therefore, we are all men most miserable. In John chapter 19 and verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, as the Bible says, he said, it's finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost on Calvary. But anyhow, if he had not raised from the dead, that'd been no more than a story like any other man who died. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17, Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of man's words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. But there'd be no need to preach about the cross and what Jesus did if there's no resurrection. Because if he did it all and death got him and he cannot break the bonds of it, where's the hope? There is no hope. The resurrection, the crowning thing that makes everything God said true. And we can put our trust in it. Because he said, I will rise. He did rise. Showed he's truthful. Amen. And you and I can trust him because we have a resurrected Lord. Galatians 6:14, the Bible says in a quote, but God forbid that I should glory save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Isn't it amazing? Even that, as I'm crucified, that cross is, as I'm crucifying the world and the world unto me, even that is, has no meaning whatsoever without the resurrection of Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Hebrews 9:22, and without shedding of blood is no remission. What I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, get it in your heart. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the cross would have absolutely no meaning to you and I, other than some people died. I think Satan has slipped us something. That we want to believe in a God because there's so much going on we don't understand, and we're just hoping we tap into him somewhere or another. And so Satan gives us a false God to believe in, whoever he may be. And anybody who believes in a false God and believe anything they want to, as long as everybody agree not to disagree on who God is. But when you come to the true and living God, there's a dividing line. And that dividing line is Jesus Christ. And when you look at him in his fullness, he may be mocked. He may be disqualified by people because they think maybe that he didn't have what is needed for our day. But I want you to know, when God raised him from the dead, and by the way, he raised himself, either way is synonymous, they're both God. That put a mark of difference between him and any other person who is a religious leader in our day. Without the resurrection, the Levitical system would still be in effect. We would still be trying to appease God with some type of sacrifice. Without the resurrection, I would have no ministry. Without the resurrection, I'd have no gospel to preach. Without the resurrection, I'd have no grace to present, no hope for the future. Without the resurrection, there's no fellowship with Christ, his church, or fellow Christians. The shed blood of Jesus Christ would be of none effect without Christ's resurrection. And I say to you again, with all the support and help in this world that people try to give may be good for a temporary basis of helping mankind go through trouble and trial. But without the resurrection, there is no hope whatsoever. You say, well, I felt good after I went to that meeting. Good. We need to have that which supports each other. But I want to tell you something. There's something in us more than just surface. There is a created image of God in here, and it only is satisfied when it's tapped into him. And that comes through the new birth when you and I trust Christ as our Savior. The shed blood of Christ is no effect without Christ's resurrection. And I want to report to you, God could and God did raise Jesus from the dead. You say, well, that's a place where he said he raised himself. Makes no difference. They're God co-equal with each other. It's synonymous. And all we're seeing is, all God is showing us, that when he says about Christ, that Christ is God in the flesh. He's man. But he's God. And there's no contradiction here in scripture when some place it may say God raised him, where it said Jesus raised himself, because they're both God. God can And God did raise Christ from the dead. An angel said he did when Mary Magdalene went that first morning. His disciples said he did. His enemies could not prove that he didn't. And I want you to know the tomb was empty. That's what, you know, you and I who understand that. Let me tell you again, the tomb was empty. So those bones they're digging up over there can't be the Lord Jesus. Not Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You say, well, DNA kind of shows he might have been another son of Joseph. Won't be the Lord Jesus. Folks, when he left, it somehow or another, that body that he was in, by the way, that goes to show you, even in heaven, there's a type of matter or type of building, God's building, that where you're talking about flesh and bone. There's no blood there. So Jesus Christ's bones even were not in the tomb when they got there that day. He was gone. Praise God. He didn't just move in one tomb to another neither. Amen. He went down to the depths where departed spirits were at and presented himself. Somehow or another, God has arranged so that anybody, glorified or earthly, there's a feature about it that holds it together. Some type of bone atmosphere or particles or articles that keeps it where it can walk and not limp around all over. Where it's got stead stuff. And I'll tell you, if the physical bones can do what it does for this body, I can't imagine what the glorified bones in heaven would do for a glorified body. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying without the resurrection, people who believe, truth will die for it, I believe, sometimes. If a person believes something, he knows the truth and is right, there's a possibility most people would die for truth. I think there are many people who would die for truth. Now, also realize there are people who believe error so strongly that sometimes they'll die believing that error is truth. If it's an error and they believe it's the truth, it's a possibility that they would die even for error because they believe it's the truth. So I believe that there are very people who will die for truth. I believe there are some people who die for error believing it's the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. People who believe something that's a fake, something that is false, something that is not true, they will never die for it. So those apostles believed in their heart that what Jesus said was true. They had evidence of it too. When they saw Christ, they knew they weren't hallucinating. They knew who it was. They knew they weren't dreaming. And therefore, God, through the Holy Spirit, gave record of that. There is no good news without the resurrection. Jesus' promise of coming back would be absolutely no good whatsoever to believe if Christ had not raised from the dead. Jesus could have said all he wanted to in Acts chapter 2 when he's on the mountain, told the disciples that he's coming back. The angels could have said what they wanted to, but if he had not raised from the dead, there'd be no reason in the world to believe it. No reason in the world to believe it. I'm glad that God showed us in grace something that he had done that everybody wishes could be done, but no one has ever done it except in the plan of God and raise an individual, even a body that's died in the flesh, back to life. Somebody said, well, I've seen somebody that was dead for 30 minutes one time, life come back to it. God don't have to use machines. He just speaks. There's power in his word. Now, isn't it a wonderful thing that God can let us find ways that we can subsidize sometime and bring life back? Those shock treatments and things they do for heart attacks, so forth. But I'm talking about one who just speaks. Say to the elements of nature when there's a storm, peace, be still. And they quieten down like a kitten at his feet. That's who we're talking about. This is the resurrected Lord. Thank God we understand that. So there's gospel without the resurrection. The second thing I want you to note, the resurrection completes the gospel. You don't have no gospel without it. When it came, it completes it. God put his stamp of approval on what we know as the good news. How do I know, ladies and gentlemen, if you trust Christ as your Savior, you'll be saved? But you know that? How do I know that? How do you know that? How do I know that Christ's blood cleanses us from all sin? How do do I know that He's going to prepare a place for us like He promised? How do I know that death has lost its sting? How do I know that when He shall appear, I shall be like Him? How do I know that He's King of kings and Lord of lords? I'll tell you how. By the resurrection.
Amen.
Without the resurrection, those doctrines mean absolutely nothing. And a lot of folks look at it because the resurrection is not real in people's lives, which leads to the final thinking of serving God because He's coming back one day and we're going to stand before Him. We get saved just in case, but it's not a reality of life to live for Him. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. That's the way it is in life. The resurrection causes us to do things we would not do otherwise. Thank God! Thank God! Thank God death could not hold Him! Because if death had got Him and He could not break free from the chains of the enemy, death, we have no hope. But because He had the power to break the chains of death, you and I have an assurance the world knows nothing about. There's nothing that Satan or this world can do to you and I to defeat us, even death, because He conquered death, hell, and the grave. For you and I, you see. You cannot be saved without going by the way of the cross, believing His resurrection. I refuse to move from the doctrine, this doctrine, to fellowship with anyone. If a person, I'll tell you, there's a lot of things I may, you know, play with and be around. But a person who does not, every way you want to say it, believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I've got no time for them. Because they're believing in a false God. Now, I believe this book. I believe the Bible. We may debate it at times about some scripture. It might be times that I'd be enlightened by you on some scripture. And certainly we all are enlightened in the scriptures. Brother Farrell said this morning about what we read is great. Different things of enlightenment. And there's sometimes we learn from each other. But ladies and gentlemen, there is not no disagreement on the resurrection of Christ. Because if there is a disagreement there, then we don't have no authority other than ourselves. The Roman Empire crucified some 30,000 people, it's been said, back in Christ's day. 30,000 plus people were hung on a cross in their great time of reigning. And I asked you a question. Can you remember any one of the 30,000 other than Jesus Christ? Has history ever written anything down through the eons of time about anyone else other than Jesus Christ? Have you ever heard from history and past that any of those that were crucified in Rome's day and ended up in Christ's day that ever can remember one solitary name? Not a one. Why is it then that we remember Christ? He's the only one that rose from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, it amazed me the other day when I was reading the different ones that was at the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Did you know there were more eyewitnesses to Jesus Christ's resurrection than there were at the signing of the Declaration of Independence from the United States of America? And it's not a person to say, well, you know, I know we got a document, but I don't know if those men signed someone who might have signed their name to it. No, we through history have been told that. There's no reason for you to believe that or disbelieve that. Amen? No reason to disbelieve that. And yet there's more people who saw the resurrected Jesus Christ in those 40 days after He rose from the dead, then signed the Declaration of Independence. And people will believe those men signed the Declaration of Independence because of history and not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, when you not only have the biblical account, but eyewitnesses who saw Him. I say to you, 40 days after the resurrection, study the scriptures. For 40 days after the resurrection, He appeared in a lot of places. 500 brethren saw Him at one time. But after the 40 days, when He ascended back to heaven in Acts chapter 1, the appearances stopped. I wonder why. You ever thought about why? Look at the times He was seen and told He was seen. on Sunday night and the next Sunday night and Peter and the apostles and 500 brethren and all that time up to 40 days. Then he ascended back on Acts 1 to be with the Father and the sighting stopped. Why? He went back to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And there's been no other sighting that we know of biblically since he went back. But there's going to be one day. Why? He promised it, and I believe it. Why? He had the power to raise himself from the dead. He had the power as God gave and manifested that power. Our resurrected Lord went back to glory to sit at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. Loved us so much that even after we're saved, he knew that many of us would be very little comfort to others and very little help to his kingdom. Because we just don't understand all that he's done. We're glad he did it, but we don't understand. We can't understand the love about it. We can't understand what it cost God. We can't understand how the angels look compared to the way we look. We won't be looking more than the angels because no angel ever got redeemed. No angel ever got redeemed. We're going to be looking at it. It's very, 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 very important. Satan will cause you to run sometimes if you're not careful. May God pity a person who has no resurrection Savior, has no hope, has no faith. I've been walking in my faltering, stumbling way for 47 years towards heaven, focusing on the resurrection Savior, trying my best to present him, not just as a story, not just to have a message to preach, but I'm talking about for the fact of knowing that if you believe that Christ rose from the dead, and you have to believe that if you come by the will of the cross, then that will do something, because if he did rise like he said he would, he's coming back like he said he would, and we're going to have to stand before him one day, and therefore he'd have us in this life to serve a risen Savior. I like that song. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Why? He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. That's the reason why he's worthy to be served. That's the reason why. Thank God for 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank God for the Word of God, where Paul made this as I read to you, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He says again, for if we believe that rose again, he'll bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which sleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. And he said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first as the trump of God sounds. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the Lord, to meet the Lord in the air. And shall we ever be with the Lord? And he said, comfort one another with these words. There's no comfort there if he didn't rise from the dead. Because if he didn't rise from the dead, he can't come back. But he said he couldn't come back. He could come back. He is coming back. I say to you, the resurrection completes the gospel. Not only does it set forth one who has been raised from the dead, but it completes the gospel. Let me give you this story. Wonderful story I read recently. By the way, this happened in a Methodist church years ago, where I used to really love God and sold out, and were greater soul winners than Baptists in those days. But this is a man, had some boys, eight, nine, 10 year old. He had 10 boys in his Sunday school class. And on Easter Sunday, he wanted them to do something different than just an ordinary run-of-the-mill Sunday school class. One of the little boys in his class was named Philip. Philip had Down syndrome. They didn't think he'd live to be 9 or 10 years old, but he was. He did. And here, that morning, this teacher got the, you remember the pantyhose that comes in the little eggshell called eggs? legs. Well, I did say I didn't have the L in it. It looks like an egg, doesn't it? Well, he bought 10 of those. He gave one to each one of the boys. Said, I want you to go out this morning into the on the church property here, and I want you to find something as you look and see if you can find something that's symbol of life. He wanted to teach something about the resurrection. And they went out, happy as they could be, came back in, and they put all the egg containers called legs with pantyhose in them. Put them in one place. And the teacher started opening them. And he opened one. He had it had flower in it, a flower in it, had life. And he opened another, and he had a leaf in it, and had a butterfly. A number of them had flowers. He opened one, and he had a rock. And the teacher said, what's this rock? And the student said, a rock has no life in it. How can that be life? And this one boy, trying to be funny, he said, well, it's mine, teacher. I just want to be different. Well, they passed that over. They opened a couple more, and then they opened one, and there's nothing in it. And everybody began to talk around the table where he was talking about. Said, who would do that? There's nothing in it. I mean, how in the world, who would be that stupid? He wanted to get something that would mean a new life, and there's nothing in it. That's not fair. Someone didn't do it right that's in our class. Whose is this? And the teacher said, well, we do need to know because I sent you out to get something to go in your little egg container with life. And little Philip pulled on his coat, a little bit sheepish and afraid, and said, teacher, it's mine. And he said, Philip, son, why would you go out and just bring back the same shell that I sent you out with? Couldn't you find anything? And here's what he said. Yes, teacher, I could find something. But I brought it back because, you see, Jesus' tomb was empty. And the teacher, moisture came to his eyes. A little boy with Down syndrome had more sense than the others had when they went out. And Easter means to me, my Savior is risen. Every one of those boys had a relationship with that young fella they didn't have before. And either that summer or the next summer, he finally died. And they're getting ready for the funeral. Everything was set up, the casket was down, the preacher's in place. They sung the song, first song. And suddenly, the teacher and those 9 other boys came out of the pew. And they walked down where little Philip's body lay. And they took those eggs with legs called what pantyhose had been in, which were empty. And they opened them up and they laid them at the foot of the altar and said, Philip's not here. He's going to be the one he loved who rose from the dead. That's what I'm talking about. If you believe in it like you should, it'll cause you to live different. If you believe in it like you should, it'll cause you to be more dedicated. If you believe in the resurrection like you should, it will revolutionize your life because he had to be raised or had to raise from the dead before any other promise could be see you. That God means what he said about everything else because he kept his promise about his son that died. All the other doctrines of the Bible hinges on this one doctrine. And when you and I come to this, this is where we start. For all other religions end right here. If you're not saved this morning, here's where you start. In a resurrected Savior who is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of this world. That means your sin. My Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for little Philip. I want to thank you, dear Lord, to know there were times
in the past that have great, wonderful, true stories where people act because of the reality of our risen Savior. Dear Lord, thank you. I pray you'd help me today get across the importance of the resurrection. Now, I don't know why this message won't let to be preached a couple weeks ago to Easter. I know it's the right thing this morning, though. I know in my heart there's some reason to be preached today. And I want to thank you, Lord, to see the reality of it. It's not just something that I think about. My conviction on the resurrection is the settling thing that causes me to do what I do. And it should be everyone else here. I am too busy focused on you, dear Lord, to worry about others who are not focused. But yet it's still time. I have to remind myself and others that our Savior is resurrected, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Lord, no matter what I do, it's not enough because of what you've done for me. Sometimes we get the feeling, well, it's enough, but it's not. I don't know where I'll be at 2 or 3 years from now. I may be home in glory. I don't know if I'll be. I don't know, but I know this. If I'm in a body of flesh here, I'm going to be serving you somewhere or another. And I thank you for that. And the reason for that is because the resurrection is just not some story or hope-so situation. My convictions about you is based on the resurrection of your Savior. And I thank you for that. Thank you for 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank you for 1 Corinthians 15 that shows us these wonderful realities in the Christian life. Save us all today, either here or by the way or radio. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.